Daily info.
Hello and welcome to this week's Daily Info Oxcast, your weekly roundup of all the best events happening in and around Oxford. This week I've got punts, prints and prizes.
I'll be talking about lambs and crabs.
Well, I've got some modern circus and theoretical theatre.
But we're going to start off with our Oxford fact. So we had one sent to us on Twitter this week from Nicolette Jones.
It's more of an Oxford claim though, isn't it?
Yeah, and well, it's interesting though. It's a good one, but unfortunately I couldn't find out anything about it. So if you know more about this Oxford fact, let us know. But she's told us that during the war, World War II, you had to pass a punting exam before you were actually allowed to punt.
Why only during the war, though? There's so many unanswered questions about
this. I know,
this
and I just couldn't find it anywhere, which makes me even more interested in it. Apparently, it's from St Hilda's Living History Project. Anyone knows more about that project as well, let us know that too. Secret fact about Oxford. So if you have a fact that you know about Oxford, you can tweet it to us or send it to us or comment on Facebook. We did have one on Facebook as well this week, but we couldn't read it out.
It's a bit naughty.
It was a bit naughty, yeah. But on to our events now, and the first one we've got this week is Legally Blonde at the New Theatre, which is running from today until Saturday. It's been put on by the Oxford Operatic Society, who have been around for a long time in many different transformations they've had since 1907. So been around a long time, and now they're doing Legally Blonde at the New Theatre. So I spoke to Freddie and Nicola, who are part of the cast of Legally Blonde, and you can hear them talking about their roles and their future plans in this interview.
So I'm here with Freddie and Nicola, the cast of Legally Blonde. You're part of the Oxford Operatic Society. Yeah. And how long have you both been involved with that?
It's both of our first shows.
Oh, okay. Exciting.
Yeah. Freddie and I knew each other from when we were younger doing Musical Youth Company of Oxford. Mm-hmm. And obviously we've both since gone our separate ways, like university drama schools and all those things. And then we've found ourselves back in Oxford and with the urge to perform again. So yeah, we've both joined Oxford Operatic and we're very lucky to get the roles that we got.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm playing Elle Woods.
Mm-hmm. And I'm Emmett Forrest.
And can you describe your characters briefly?
Elle Woods is from Malibu and she is in love with a guy called Warner who is going off to Harvard Law School. Now, he breaks up with her before he goes to law school because she's not serious enough, so she feels that the only way that she can win Warner back is by going to Harvard Law School herself. But that's actually where she meets Emmett Forrest at Harvard Law School.
Yeah, he's kind of the equivalent of, I guess, a postgrad student at Harvard Law, and it's where he meets Elle. Because he grew up in some slums and maybe wasn't quite Harvard material or what people would just expect to go to Harvard. Mm-hmm. And when he meets Elle, I think he kind of falls for her a bit. Sees her look, because she's not really expecting to make it at Harvard, and then I think it was the same for him when he first got there. So he maybe sees a little bit of himself in her in a weird way.
It was a very popular film when it came out. Have you departed from it? Or are there going to be things, for the real fans, are there going to be...
Well, we were talking about the film yesterday. Yeah. Freddie had only seen it like a few weeks ago, whereas for me, I'd like grown up watching it and I'm like a huge fan. The storyline is much the same. Mm-hmm. The characters in the musical are based on those in the films, but we were discussing how they're far more in-depth in the musical. You get to kind of understand who they are and why they're at Harvard Law School. And for me, the film is excellent, but the musical is... The songs absolutely make the show.
Yeah.
It's such a fantastic show because of Lawrence O'Keefe's music.
Yeah, you get to see much more of the characters because of what they sing and how they do it.
Are you taking it anywhere else or is it just going to be at the New Theatre?
Just here this week, Wednesday to Saturday.
So when it's all over on Saturday, have you got plans for the future? Are you going to do another Oxford Operatic show?
Yeah, it's a really quick turnaround that they do. It's straight on to the next one, which will be Sunset Boulevard at the Playhouse.
Yeah, we have a week off, don't we? And then everyone's back in on Tuesday the 9th, I believe, to do the talking for the next show, which is then in November.
Okay. And what's been your favourite thing about working on this show?
Personally, I think getting to come here, because it's the first time I've performed at the New Theatre,
and
it's going to be, it's just so much bigger than anywhere I've been before. That'll be exciting.
Yeah, I agree with that. But also doing the show Legally Blonde, like Elwood has been my dream role forever since it first came out. But also getting to work with such a fantastic creative team as well. Guy and Julie, we've known them from performing it with Maiko, but they work so well together, and they also really work well with the company.
Do you have a favourite scene or a favourite song?
My personal favourite is probably it's a song called Take It Like a Man, where there's a bit of my character undergoes a bit of a transformation.
I think for me, it's probably the Legally Blonde remix at the end, because so much has happened within the plot, and there's kind of some curveballs thrown in there where it looks like Elwoods is going to be leaving, and then something happens and then she doesn't leave. And so it's the Legally Blonde remix where you see all these different characters completely in a different light, and it's just amazing, like, musically, but also it's where the part of the plot goes, wow, we didn't expect that.
Well, best of luck to both of you tonight and the rest of the week.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
And you can listen to the full interview with Freddie and Nicola, where they talk more about the set and the Operatic Society in general and other things about the performance in our Oxcast Extra.
Next event of the week, though, it is 8th week this week. 8th week is a bit like Torpids, if you might remember that from a few months ago. This is where all of the colleges go against each other in rowing on the river, on the Isis. Each college enters at least one crew, although some colleges enter up to 5 for men's and women's, and they have to bump each other. So all of the boats start about a boat length and a half apart, and they start down at Donington Bridge. They have to try and race, sprint up, and hit the boat in front of them. If they do that, they bump them, and they move up in their division, and there's a whole load of divisions. There's about 170 odd boats that are involved in 8th week between Wednesday and Saturday this week, and you'll be able to see it between Donington Bridge and the head of the river from about midday each day until about 7 in the evening. Saturday will be the finals, so that's going to be when the real good racing will be going on, and you can expect to see a lot of people down in Christchurch Meadow and also at the boathouses with lots of drinks and barbecues and things like that. Hopefully the weather will be nice as well. So you can go along to see some of that, and you can also read some more information about it on our information page online, which is at dailyinfo.co.uk/8thweek, and it'll be going on till the 30th of May. This started in 1815, so it's a pretty old, there's probably older Oxford traditions, but it's been pretty good, going pretty long time. So it's nice, like 200 year anniversary this year. But yeah, so midday till 7, each day till Saturday.
So do you get knocked out if you get bumped then, and then on Saturday it's just the people who haven't been...
You move down your division, and then, like, if you get to the bottom of your division, you might actually get moved down into the division below, or you might get promoted to the division above, so...
Right. And what's the difference between this and the other one? It's more violent.
No, it's kind of the same, but...
Better weather.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a bit nicer for spectators. But you do need to be careful that you don't catch a crab, which is when you... It's not actually catching a crab when you're rowing, but you catch a bad sort of wave of water and it can fling you out of the boat, and it can be pretty painful and embarrassing.
But when Orla was first telling us about this, me and Emma definitely thought it was about catching real crabs. And so then we got into a whole thing about that. So now we've brought in our crab and crayfish correspondent.
You can catch crayfish. Myth will tell you that you can catch crayfish merely by dangling a piece of bacon into the water on a bit of string and pulling them out. However, there are a whole lot of rules and regulations about catching crayfish, so if you do intend to catch crayfish, you must contact the Environment Agency and get a licence. When you have got a licence and a rod licence to allow you to fish in the waters, you should be very careful about what crayfish you catch. You won't get a licence if there are any native crayfish known in the area you intend to fish, but if you do get a licence and you pull crayfish out of the water, you must be able to identify them correctly. It's very important that you don't get the white clawed crayfish, which are crayfish with white undersides to their claws. You should only get the ones with red claws. There are also other types of crayfish, Turkish and spiny cheeked, but I won't go into the details of them. Do look them up on the internet, because they are also non-native. If you catch a non-native crayfish, you must not put it back in the water. You must kill it, and preferably eat it, because they're very tasty.
Delicious.
Absolutely delicious. Under no accounts eat a white-clawed crayfish, or you'll be liable for many, many, many thousands of pounds of fine.
Wow. But definitely don't just get a piece of string and a piece of bacon and dangle it in the river and then yank them out.
Definitely.
How do you get them then? What's the best method?
So you can use a number of traps. Traps must be approved by the Environment Agency and tagged with your Environment Agency license number. But you can make one out of a bicycle wheel. If you take a bicycle wheel and chop the spokes off, put a piece of net around it at the bottom and then tie a fish head on it, drop it in the water, the crayfish will come to the top of it. You can pull them out like a fishing basket.
I think that's how we did it when we went. I went once and then we cooked the crayfish and then I cried because I was so sad about eating them.
It's really sad. Raymir says to put a knife behind the head and to kind of just chop the spinal thing. That's the way to dispatch them very quickly.
Humanely kill the crayfish.
That's the plan.
Great. Thanks. That's a lot of information.
It's a serious business, fishing, so take it seriously.
Thank you.
So there you go. Catch a crayfish, not a crab, hopefully, this weekend.
Or crabs.
And from fishing to forming. This Thursday and Friday, the Pitt Rivers Museum are hosting a special workshop on moulding leather. The two-day course, run by the craftsperson Catherine Pogson, will allow you to make a small bowl, purse or tray from vegetable-tanned leather, taking inspiration from the museum's many collections of moulded leather containers. So, the course runs for 2 days, between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. on the 28th, and 10 a.m. and 1 on the 29th. And on the first day, they'll be teaching you how to make your own moulds. You can leave stuff in it overnight. And on the second day, they'll be teaching you how to polish, decorate, seal and edge finish your object. So the course, I get the impression, is intended for adults, but it is suitable for ages 14 and up. So if there are any sort of 16, 17-year-olds who fancy having a go, they'll be allowed. The cost is only £10, which seems remarkably low, given that they're including all the materials in that cost. Mm. And as an addendum, probably worth mentioning that Catherine Pogson will be back at the Pitt Rivers Museum running another workshop on the 25th of July. So if you want to learn how to pattern and emboss elements of leather, you can always return.
If you want to find out more information about any of these museums and also read reviews of recent exhibitions from places like the Ashmolean, you can find them on Daily Info.
In our Oxford guide, we've got information pages about all sorts of things in Oxford, like punting, although I think we now need to have a crayfish page by the sounds of it.
And 8th week, of course.
And for more art lessons and classes, you can check out our pages of courses and workshops.
You can follow us on Twitter at Daily Info Oxford or find us on Facebook by searching for Daily Info Oxford.
Now onto the weekend, and in Kirtlington on Friday and Saturday and Sunday, there's going to be a weekend of Morris dancing and lambs and ale. This is the Kirtlington Lamb Ale Morris Festival.
Inventively named.
It's actually been going since the early 1600s, I believe. So I've got a quote from 1679, which is about the Kirtlington Lamb Ale Morris Festival, which goes, "The custom is that on Monday after Whitsun week, there is a fat live lamb provided, and the maids of the town, having their thumbs tied behind them, run after it, and she that with her mouth takes and holds the lamb is declared Lady of the Lamb, attended with music and a Morisco dance of men and another of women, where the rest of the day is spent in dancing, mirth and merry glee." And I don't think much has changed since then. There's going to be loads of Morris dances, loads of Morris processions. There'll be a lamb roast on the Saturday evening, followed by a ceilidh at the village hall in Kirtlington. And it's going to be across pretty much the whole village and the other surrounding villages in all of the pubs. Just loads and loads of Morris dancing. So it'll be the Kirtlington Morris men and a whole load of guest sides that they've invited along as well. But you can find more information about the schedule of events at kirtlington-morris.org.uk.
So it's basically a massive pub crawl with Morris dancing and lamb lambs. Chasing.
I don't think they actually do the lamb chasing anymore. It's just a lamb roast.
Right.
A bit sad.
A bit lazy.
Yeah, there you go.
And from Morris dancing to acrobatics, Barely Methodical Troupe, who are a three-man experimental acrobatic circus company, are bringing their tour show Bromance to the Oxford Playhouse this Friday and Saturday. So, Barely Methodical are a three-man circus group formed of Beren D'Amico, Louis Gift and Charlie Wheeler. They're all graduates of the National Centre for Circus Arts and actually all come from different backgrounds. So one's a specialist in martial arts, another in parkour and another in gymnastics. They've been doing incredibly well recently. They won the inaugural Circus Maximus competition, they got a Total Theatre Award in 2014, and they actually sold out earlier this year at the London International Mime Festival. They're doing really incredibly well in mime circles. I'm not sure entirely how that's expressed, but they genuinely are. And if that's not enough acrobatics for you, Zippo Circus are currently camped in South Park, with performances starting on Wednesday the 27th, which I believe is today, and running until the 1st of June. But very excitingly, not only are there circus performances, but on Friday the 29th at 11 a.m, they'll be running a free open house event where you can go and see the animals in their quarters and see them being trained.
Cool. So you can see that they're being looked after nicely as well.
Yeah. It's completely free, and all you have to do is register so they have an idea of numbers because they don't want to stress out the animals. So to recap, Barely Methodical will be performing their show Bromance on the 29th and 30th of May, and Zippo Circus will be running until the 1st of June with an open house on the 29th.
And if you're in South Park checking out the circus or you're up for some more family fun this weekend, the Headington Festival is also going to be running on Saturday and Sunday. This festival has been running since 2003, organised by Headington Action, and it went really, really well last year, and this year they're making it bigger and better. So one of the things that they're doing is a grand prize draw, which sounds really good. You can win, the first prize is £250, but you could also win a glider flight, or there's some meals for two and some other prizes as well. So that's really exciting. I love prizes. I love festival raffles and things like that. It's really cool. So on Saturday from 10 till 4, the festival's going to be in the Headington Shopping Centre, and there's going to be food stalls and music and lots of things like that. And you can wander around and visit your local Headington shops. And then on Sunday from 1 till 5, they're going to be in Bury Knoll Park, again with music. There's going to be some magic shows and then lots of community groups, some sports groups and things you can try out, some sports, and just see what people are doing in the local community. There's still a chance to volunteer if you want to be involved as a volunteer, and you can find information about that on their website. But if not, you can just head down to Headington on Saturday and or Sunday. 10 till 4 on Saturday or 1 till 5 on Sunday.
And moving on to next week, on Monday the 1st of June, the Sheldonian will be hosting the play Last Train to Oxford. Adapted from John Shadd's novel Someone Called Derrida, it might be described as an intellectual mystery. So the vague plot is that someone calls Derrida on the phone, but this mysterious caller is dead. Derrida visits Oxford, and there, before the very eyes of the philosophy faculty, he dies several times. So while on the one hand it is a murder mystery, it also explores Derrida's complex relationship to his father and to the city of Oxford. All of Derrida's lines come verbatim from his 1979 book The Postcard, while all of his father's lines come from words that he actually said in interviews, transcribed in the 90s by the author's mother. The play appeared last year in November at the Old Fire Station, and it was incredibly well received, described as captivating and emotive. So to recap, this particular performance is happening on Monday the 1st of June at the Sheldonian Theatre, and the performance is part of a series of events organised by Torch, the Oxford Research Centre for the Humanities. The play has a running time of 95 minutes, with doors opening at 6:45 for a 7 p.m. start, and it's 16+, with tickets available at £8 or £5 for concessions.
We'll be sending along a reviewer to that as well, so if you don't get a chance to go along, you can see what they thought of it the day after.
Intriguingly, on the event site, they do list it as 16+, but also specify no babies.
Well, to highlight a local exhibition now, as we sometimes do, Joe Davis, who's a local artist, is taking his exhibition Haunts to the Hatch on Little Clarendon Street. It opened yesterday and it's running until next Friday, so you just have a few days left to go and see it. They're open from 10 till 6, Monday to Friday. Hatch is a space organised by Three Space and Barclays. So they're kind of a collaboration who go around finding spaces for people to exhibit. And this space will this week be featuring Joe's work. He does, amongst other things, a lot of illustrations of independent Oxford venues. They're going to be sold as prints, I believe, at this exhibit, or you can maybe go along and if you really like one, you can also buy them from his website. This is Haunts, an exhibit by Joe Davis, and it's at the Hatch on Little Clarendon Street until next Friday.
Now, we don't normally pick a movie to talk about in the Oxcast, but I've got one that is a very special screening. There's only going to be one of it, I think. And this is on Tuesday at the Phoenix. It's their Discover Tuesday film for the week, where they pick alternative or interesting films to play on a Tuesday. This is Regarding Susan Sontag, is the name of the film. It's a documentary directed by Nancy Cates about Susan Sontag, the writer, filmmaker, and political activist, about her work, her reputation, her drives and personal relationships with people like the photographer Annie Leibovitz. I think it's the type of film that you'd really enjoy if you know about Susan Sontag and are a fan, or even if you're not, but also if you have no idea who she is, you've never heard the name before, it'd be a really nice way to discover her through this film, I think. There's a good chance, as I say, that this will be the only screening of it. It's going to be on a Tuesday at 6:15 at the Phoenix.
Well, that is all from us this week. But if you want to listen every week to the podcast, then you can subscribe and get it straight to your iPhone or whatever you listen to it on from iTunes.
You can find us on social media at Daily Info Oxford on Twitter, and you can find us on Facebook by searching Daily Info Oxford.
And look out for a competition that will be launching on Monday that you'll be able to find a link to from our homepage.
And now, as you heard at the beginning, and to play us out as well, we've got our jingle from the Young Women's Music Project.
Daily, daily, daily info. Daily, daily, daily info. Daily, daily, daily info.